I did too. I just had a ham and cheese sandwich for lunch.
Whoa.
A little mustard on it.
What kind of flavored ham? Just an oven roasted?
Yeah. Peppermint. How do they flavor hams? What are you talking about?
I don't know. There's like honey ham. There's smoked ham. Oven baked ham.
Definitely wasn't a honey ham.
Smoke? Did it have a smoky flavor?
I don't think so, no. It just tasted like ham.
Like a boiled ham? Like a domestic ham?
Boiled ham. I don't think I've ever had boiled ham.
You probably have. I used to work in a deli, so.
But like, what is it? So like, you boil the ham and then you mash, it's like mashed ham, like mashed potatoes?
No, I'm sure that's an option. I mean, there's always ham salad. That's kind of mashed.
That's a good point, yeah.
Then it's just mayonnaise. Is that strictly a United States thing?
Oh, I don't know.
You just like tear apart meat and add mayonnaise and then it's salad?
I don't know.
Is that anything?
I don't know if it is.
No, but, you know, we're different ham loaves, you know, you just open up and there's just like a pink giant rectangle of ham. I think that was just a boiled ham, you know, whereas we also had oven roasted ham, which was like, had a glaze on it and then clearly it was baked because the outside was like crispy, you know?
Yeah, I think my ham had a crust, so it was probably baked.
You had some crusty ham. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I just had some old crusty ham. And so I had some moldy bread.
Yeah.
With some nice dry flakes of mustard on it. You know, like it gets stuck around the rim. I just scrape that off, you know. That's where the flavor is.
Yeah, you collect a bunch of empty mustard bottles and scrape the crust around the end. Okay.
Yeah. Dehydrated mustard is really, it's all the rage in rich white people circles.
It's kind of fancy.
You probably haven't heard of it yet, but me and Martha Stewart, we're pretty tight, so.
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I watched a recent episode of Shark Tank, and Slice of Sauce was on there looking for money.
Looking for money? How recent was this episode?
This is the latest season, and I watched it 2 weeks ago, maybe on Hulu.
Holy shit.
Yeah. They're still pre-revenue, they're saying, but we've had some.
Yeah, we've had some. We covered that years ago.
Yeah. They still can't get off the ground.
I wonder why. It was.
Yeah. People are probably just scraping up the crusty mustard and mayonnaise off the rim. Don't need the whole slice.
What a terrible, stupid product.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're so cutting edge, Jeff. Talk about trend setting.
Yeah, we beat Shark Tank to it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Take that, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but take it.
He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Getting an early start. I'm done with work for the day. So we don't need to tell people what time we're recording, but I'm done with work for the day. So cracking open a cold one.
Crack it open.
Cutting edge. Damn. So do you think then at some point one of these movies that we've done is going to get franchised? And I'm.
Absolutely.
You and I had better see residuals on this, okay?
Oh, yeah. Especially if they use any of our Jurassic Park ideas.
They definitely will. So let's just keep an eye on Mark Cuban, right? If I read you correctly, if I understood your reference.
Watch him. Yeah.
Keep eyes on Cuban. Oh, nope. I don't like how that sounds. Let's just drop it. Wow,
yeah,
that guy planned ahead with his last name.
Yeah, damn. Look out.
That's why he's on top of the Shark Tank world.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, not to spoil that episode, but we've given more money to Slice of Sauce than any of the sharks in Shark Tank.
Well, we're ahead of the game again, Cuban.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban. I don't know. Head of the game again.
His friends probably just call him Mr. Cuban, you know?
The big C.
Yeah. That's another one.
Is it spelled with a C?
Yeah.
All right, they call him that then.
Let's do it. I mean, I liked your energy of getting right to it. Let's also get right to this. Watch this. Ready?
All right.
Hey, welcome to Heads Up. Jeff and Sean. I'm Jeff.
I'm Sean. You know who I am.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, they know who you are too, yeah, Jeff. We're the slice. True. We're the slice of sauce guys. We reviewed it before Mark Cuban did.
Yeah.
Ground floor investors.
And one day we'll get off the ground. I can't help but think if they had really developed our spaghetti sauce slice, that they would be in supermarkets across the world by now. But they're still struggling.
Yeah, I also remember that idea we had. I also remember it. So was our idea you put it on top of the spaghetti after the spaghetti's done, like on the plate, and then just eat it? Or
I think that would be pretty good, but I also like the idea of having spaghetti noodles in it.
You know? Oh, was that what it was?
But I'm pretty sure it was just the sauce and like whatever meat or vegetables that are in the sauce typically, and then you just place it on top of the noodles. You cut it.
Like a sauce loaf. Yeah, okay. I remember. Yeah. I definitely still don't remember it, but that sounds like a good idea. It sounds like something we'd come up with.
Yeah. We come up with a lot of great things, okay?
We do.
You know, we do that nowadays by talking about three different subjects. You know, we talk about a candy.
Seamless.
We try to franchise a movie. And we talk about animals.
Well, now it's time to get online through our internet service provider. It'll be cool. Here we go.
Incredible. The professionalism. Are you wearing a tie right now?
Three ties. I'm wearing three ties right
now. Damn.
You know, still got some left over from my grocery store days where I had to wear a tie.
Now, are they one on top of another or are they like spread out?
They're spread out across my body in different areas. One is traditional around the neck, and the other two I will leave a mystery.
Oh my! You know what? Let's jump ahead to the future again right now, Jeff, with our seer powers.
Yeah,
the new fashion is going to be someone either they wear the tie like a belt and it hangs off the front, or like you have like just the knot hangs off of like right in front of one of your legs. You have like a tie, like you use the one belt loop in front of that leg, and you just have the tie there.
It's pretty good.
If that's not the new fashion in the next decade, if that's not on a fashion show somewhere, I will eat an entire tie.
Yeah, it's 21st century. It's time for tie innovation.
And I said I'll do it, so definitely you can keep my word is as good as gold.
Yeah. Sean will eat an entire tie.
Tie. Yeah.
So that's not a fashion move. Do we have a deadline by the end of the year?
I said in the next 10 years. So
really 10 just, years?
Really giving myself some breathing room. I don't remember how long ago we reviewed Slice of Sauce. So
it was like maybe 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like
they should either be a product or dead, but they are just suffering along.
I was going to say it feels like 6 to 10 years ago, but, you know. Just a decade gives it a nice, you know, someone can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if not, it gives me enough time to forget that you agreed to eat a tie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Which safe. I won't do anyway, no matter what. So just keep dreaming.
A chocolate tie?
You got me.
Yeah, I wasn't going to make this the year of the snake, but when you said it, it had such a ring to it that I was like, should we talk about snakes all year?
We can. So. I think you know I have the exact same amount of dedication to making this the year of the snake as I do as eating an entire tie. So,
all right. What do you know about the tentacle snake?
Nothing.
Love that. Love that.
Let me just type this into my web browser and access the World Wide Web. Doesn't really look like a snake. Kind of flat.
Yeah, the head especially looks pretty flat. But at least it has a defined head, unlike the last snake we did.
Yeah, that's true. It does have a defined head.
It's a rear-fanged aquatic snake.
Oh, it's an underwater snake. Doesn't that kind of feel like bullshit, though? Like, all you hear about snakes, they're never, like, underwater.
Yeah.
I guess sea snakes, but...
Some you see like skirt across the water.
Yeah.
Aquatic snake. I mean, just make it instead of a reptile, make it something else, you know?
Like a fish.
Yeah. They're apparently venomous, but they're not a problem for people because their fangs are in the back of their mouths. So I guess you'd have to really get your finger down in there.
Yeah.
And then have it bite you to have it cause a problem. But it said the venom is specific to the fish that the tentacle snake eats. So it's like really, really curved out a specific poison for this kind of fish it likes, I guess.
That is a niche biome.
It's a pretty bold move.
Yeah.
Describes it living its entire life in murky water. That seems depressing.
Well, what do the tentacles do?
I read one website said they were mysterious. Didn't know. Another one says it's another one was saying it uses it to sense prey, which is probably correct. Because I'm sure it can't stick its tongue out like regular snakes do in the air. I don't know. Maybe it does. I'm guessing the tentacles help it find prey. Otherwise, why bother?
It's a great question. I can't think of any reason why this snake should keep bothering, but
yeah.
I just like that there's a website that's just like, and what are these things on the snake for? It's a mystery.
I will not do any research.
We're it's not going to look it up. No one has ever looked into it. We don't care. We don't want to know.
And I know this is only the second snake, but for it to also be least concern as conservation status makes me think people just don't like snakes. They don't want to look at them. They don't want to touch them. It's gross.
Yeah. I mean, snakes might just be doing pretty well, you know? I don't know.
They're thriving.
Yeah, I feel like this snake, though, if it lives in murky water, might, I don't know.
It's harder to count, for sure.
Yeah, like, how do you get your hands on them? But I guess that nobody's concerned about it, so.
Yeah, no one's concerned. No one is concerned. I think I was reading somewhere that it uses its body to, like, create little waves under the water to make its prey change course, like, basically right into its mouth.
Yeah, I guess it, like, disturbs it in such a way that the fish reflexively tries to escape, and then it would try to swim away. But when it, I guess, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. When it does that, the snake is anticipating where it will go.
Yeah.
So the snake aims for where the fish is going to flee. That's pretty cool, I guess. The tentacled snake retracts its eyes when it begins to strike. Ugh. Okay.
Like a shark?
I don't know. I don't know that sharks do that either, but it just says the tentacled snake retracts its eyes when it begins to strike. I'm just reading the sentence right off Wikipedia. Anybody could do this, Jeff.
Now, I'm going to assume I'm dumb, but retracts its eyes is, I just assume that's like rolling its eyes back to protect their eyes, but does it, I don't know. I won't look into it further.
I don't know anymore. Yeah, it's a mystery. This aspect of the snake's life is mysterious.
This on its website is listed as interesting tentacled snake facts, but then one of it is its weight, length, and the color of it, which I think are just regular facts. I don't think those are very interesting. It has keeled scales, which means apparently ridged and rough. You'd think it'd want, I don't know, you think rougher scales are better for swimming?
That's another mysterious part of the snake, I guess.
They are nocturnal. Nocturnal snakes.
The tentacles make it look like a weird sea slug thing. Yeah. Just not real impressed with it.
With its looks?
Yeah.
I think the websites I've been checking need to really step up their game. And this scummer is someone who just reads websites and calls it a podcast. It says tentacled snakes probably can survive from 10 to 20 years in the wild.
Yeah, who knows? Probably, man. I don't know. Being a scientist sounds like the easiest thing in the fucking world.
Jesus. Wow. They can only spend 30 minutes underwater? Well, this is the same website.
I saw that elsewhere, yeah. Like, oh my 30 God. Minutes before they got to come up for air.
Imagine spending your whole life somewhere where you have to hold your breath. And you can only hold your breath for 30 minutes, and then you gotta, like, hurriedly run to the surface.
Yeah.
Or an area where you can actually breathe and then hold your breath again. Just seems like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of sounds like, yeah.
30 minutes? I mean, I guess it's got small lungs. It's a small animal, but
Yeah, and I mean, they could live anywhere from 10 to 12 years in the wild, so yeah. Maybe 30 minutes feels longer to them, yeah. You know, because they don't have as much time, but...
Oh, my God.
If investigated by an approaching animal, the tentacled snake extends its body, becoming completely rigid. It maintains this position even if removed from the water. So it just makes itself look like a branch, basically.
Wow.
Like, nah, dude, it's cool. I'm a big water twig. Chill.
No, you thought I was an animal. Turns out I'm just a twig. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, just toss me back in the water, dude. Who cares?
Oh, they bear live young.
Really? They don't lay eggs?
I think they have to. I think it's like a half and half, like a halfway thing, because they live underwater. I think they have to like do that. Again, I was reading that somewhere, but. Yeah, ooviparously. Siri's gonna have to say this word to me.
Oh, ovoviviparously.
Oh wow, that came so naturally.
Thanks. It's an outmoded term used as a bridging form of reproduction between egg laying and live bearing reproduction.
Mm.
So, oviviparous animals have the embryos develop inside eggs that remain in the mother's body until they're. So they just keep the eggs in their body.
They have a special area for eggs.
Yeah.
So instead of laying the eggs fully, they hold on to the eggs.
Yeah. So, they're similar to live-bearing reproductive animals, in which there's internal fertilization and the young are born alive. Check. But they differ in that there's no placental connection and the unborn young are nourished by egg yolk. Yeah. So they just, like, yeah, the eggs are fertilized and then they grow the eggs and then they basically hatch the eggs and the things escape. Gross.
Gross. This is a line. They can only move awkwardly on land. Me too.
Oh yeah.
absolutely. During dry times, they'll burrow themselves in the mud. That's where we differ.
I mean, if there's mud, it's not that dry, but
right. Right. Well, maybe where they're mostly located, if it's just mud and not a body of water, maybe that's considered pretty dry.
Mm.
You know?
All right. I don't think there's anything else interesting we need to know about these animals.
No, because the interesting fact sheet that I saw had no interesting facts about it.
Well, they get little tentacles, and they can trick fish into... They aim where the fish is going to be.
Yeah, they're the Wayne Gretzky of snakes.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, definitely.
He would go where the puck was going to be. See, he played hockey at a professional level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how did you do that?
You know, I guess he studied hockey movements. I don't know. I'm not a big sports guy. Making a lot of sports references lately to people who also don't know sports, and then they assume I'll know more, and I don't.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I did, but...
Yeah. So I'm going to have to...
calibrate on that.
Yeah. I'll move away from sports or learn more about sports. I don't know. One or the other.
You'll move away.
Yeah. It's true. All right, it's time to spit in God's eye. We're going to really make this snake something special.
Well, let's not hype it up that much. You said last time that we had already used the snake turns itself into a wheel and rolls away, and I feel like that's my go-to for snakes, so...
Yeah.
And this one's already prone to turning into a stick, so...
Mm-hmm. It's already got that. What if it could turn into other shapes, though?
Are any other shapes useful? Like,
Is the stick shape that useful?
I mean, they use it, and maybe it helps. It didn't say if it helped when they used it. They weren't like, and in this way, it avoids being eaten. They're just like, yeah, it stiffens up into like a stick type thing when it gets grabbed by another animal.
Maybe it could do like a balloon animal thing. Make itself look like a balloon animal dog, balloon animal giraffe. End of list that I know of balloon animals. So.
Okay. Yeah, those are the only two types of animals that you can use balloons to represent. What about, well, first of all, balloon animal snake is like right there. You just blow the thing up and tie it off and you're done.
It's already a snake.
It's a snake. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
There you go, kid. Get the fuck out of here. What if, okay, so I did, they're snakes, so I assume they don't live together. But if they lived in like colonies of a bunch of snakes that could, wherever their habitat is, they can, they each stiffen up in a different way, in a different little shape that, like, they link together to look like, say, a balloon dog or a balloon wolf, if that's a big predator in their area, right?
Yeah.
Or balloon giraffe. If I don't remember if we made giraffes predators. I feel like we did talk about them. But if we made them predators, then, yeah, maybe they look like little baby giraffes.
I think we made them pretty aggressive, yeah. Okay, yeah, so they link together to imitate predators. Okay. I like that. I like that.
And maybe their little tentacles are how they exchange that information. That's where they keep the blueprints.
That's how they interlock, like Avatar, where they do their ponytails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these have gross, overtly sexualized. We use this to take control of other animals and also to get each other off.
Yeah, in Avatar, it was really a missed opportunity to not have the character go, oh, so the ponytail's like your genitals. And then it would be like, I was wondering why. There's nothing down there. But these are your sex organs. Okay, all right. I'm not weirded out by that.
Did that happen?
I'm from the future. Well, yeah, because like they're
in the movie though. That happened. He said.
Oh, that line didn't happen. I'm saying it was a missed opportunity for that movie not to have that awkward moment.
All right. Well, I think I know what movie we're franchising, but
there's already gonna be five more of those.
Seriously?
Yeah, just not yet. Well, they're in production for, I think they're doing a couple at a time.
But it wasn't very good, though.
It wasn't very good, and it's been too long.
Is it the same characters? Well, it's all CGI bullshit anyway, so.
Yeah, maybe Sigourney Weaver signed on? I don't know. Yeah. I've never seen something make so much money and have such a cultural impact, but not have any influence on the culture. Avatar and Game of Thrones, something about the way they made those just, I mean, sure, unobtainium is funny to say, but
it's not just funny to say. It sounds like a placeholder they put in the script. We'll come up with the fucking word for the mineral later, kid.
Figure it out later.
Shut up, kid. You don't know how this business is run.
And in the movie, I forget if it's the aliens already speak English or it's a thing where your mind interprets it because you're already in like an avatar of the thing, but to have them speak perfect thing, but with an accent, a native style accent. So you say Jake Sully, say his name weird. All right, we're not talking about Avatar.
Well, you know, the people they sent ahead to teach the aliens English had accents. You know, they were. We said this would be funny.
Yeah. Then there's the floating rock. All right,
we're the meme corporation. We want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Talking about these snakes, though.
Hires ex-military who's all too comfortable being mean to natives.
Yeah. So you know what we need here? It's just a bunch of war criminals. We want our security guards to be former war criminals.
Yeah.
Just itching under the collar to do more war crimes. Mm-mm.
Just, I don't know. If you have the mech, just use it all the time.
Yeah.
Why are you wasting a mech? All right. So these things can link together, look like other predators.
Either they don't live underwater anymore, or we got to up the time that they can.
Yeah. Say that extra area where they hold on to the eggs when they're you know, pregnant, technically. Maybe when they're not holding eggs, maybe they can use that as an extra place to store air.
All right. That helps the women.
Well, give the men the sack, too, just like, you know, fuck it. It's like nipples, you know, just make the men have it, too, for no reason.
All right.
Now it serves a purpose.
That's a good argument, yeah. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, why not? Just give it to both.
And while we're at it, why don't they have to watch some of the eggs? Maybe they split up the duties, switch back and forth, become more, you know, equal society, these snakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that idea, too. Or maybe they it's like, what is it, sexual dimorphism? Like,
yeah.
The male-female distinction with these snakes isn't really that strong. It's just they meet up with a partner, and then I guess they draw cards. They play like a card game. whatever the snake equivalent of a card game is to determine who's going to be.
I want to say a dice game, but that's, I don't think snakes can do dice either, but.
That's a good point. What games of chance can snakes play? I didn't expect us to have to determine this, but I think it's good we're getting it out of the way early in the year.
Yeah. Maybe they have to do, like, since they can, like, kind of make their body into certain shapes, maybe they have a version of, like, rock, paper, scissors they can play.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that working. I think maybe it'll be different for each colony of snakes.
Yeah, some go 2 out of 3, some go 5 out of 7.
So. Well, I was going to say what the shapes are, but I guess also the number, yeah.
Yeah, the shapes are different depending on the region they're from.
Yeah, so I guess they'll have to be a little bit smarter so that they can understand more shapes for when they go to a different colony, because I don't want a bunch of inbred snakes.
Yeah.
It's not good for the longevity of the species. And
no.
Apparently, they don't need the help because they are all of least concern.
Yeah, they're doing great. They're doing amazing. They're doing amazing.
They're just not as good as they could be.
Can we make their eyes like super hard so they don't have to retract their eyes when they go to attack something? Because it feels like they're doing a lot of work to make sure their eyes are protected.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's do that instead of just weak flesh, whatever eyes are made out of. Maybe they just always have a protective layer over them. They don't get to shrink them back.
Yeah, maybe they have like diamond coated eyes or something.
Whoa, that's gonna get.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I mean, they're attacking fish. I don't think they need like. And then, you know, then the light hits it weird and they blind themselves. I don't know about that.
All right, we'll just stick to generally having stronger eyes.
Stronger.
And then they're not hunted for their diamond eyes.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's another big. And then since they don't have to retract their eyes, Jeff, the space behind where their eyes would have gone, we just put some oxygen there. That's the
there it is.
More storage space.
We're finding more space.
That's what we need to do. Let's just take parts out of the snake to make it more lightweight, so like a race car, so it can fit more oxygen.
I love it. I mean, it's got like, it makes really specific venom. Maybe we can make it, you know, kind of a mixologist, you know?
Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to mention that. How bullshit useless are fangs in the back of your mouth?
Yeah.
That was the part that I wanted to, specifically I wanted to say that while spitting in God's eye about this snake. Like, what the fuck, dude? That sucks.
Put them right in front.
I don't know. What if we made their tentacles longer and took the fangs away altogether, and then they just grab stuff with their tentacles and squeeze it to death?
Okay.
Because I think the tentacles got to be a little bit more flexible if they're, like, turning into pieces of a larger balloon animal representation of predators in the area. Yeah.
So they don't poison things anymore. They squeeze the life out of them.
Yeah, I don't think they'd need to. What do they need to poison these fish for anyway?
I don't know.
They're already, like, fucking rope-a-dope and tricking them. Like, is a predator coming over here? Oh, you ran over here, I bit you. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and when it's fangs in the back of its mouth, I mean, you got to have a good part of the fish already in your mouth. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you've done the work. You don't need to then stab it with your fangs and poison it. Like,
yeah. So maybe it gets out of your mouth, just strangle it or eat it alive. That's all.
I think part of, now that we've taken the fangs out of the mouth, we can fit air in there. It can keep its mouth closed when it's underwater, and the tentacles just grab the fish and, like, strangle it. Like, you know, like it covers the gills or whatever.
Because
remember, we made them a little smarter, so it knows to do that stuff.
Yeah.
We're making a really dangerous animal here. And then it can just, like, you know, maybe you can catch a few and, like, keep a little stockpile underwater to eat for the rest of the day. Maybe they share because they live in a community now.
Yeah. They have burrows now specifically for fish lockers, you know?
I could see that, yeah. They use the tentacles to pile up some rocks over their dead fish so other predators can't get them. They have like a little pool near where they live.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty cool to be one of these snakes now.
Yeah. They got a pretty cool little society going.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind being reincarnated as one of the snakes that we made. Sounds pretty cool. Balloon animals, extra breathing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've done it.
I can't think of any better way to improve this fish. They're more social, more intelligent.
Yeah.
They can form into larger animals together.
Mm-hmm.
They've got tentacles. We took a bunch of parts out to fit in air sacs.
Yeah.
Maybe a cool decal on its side.
Flames or a skull.
Maybe like, yeah. I guess it should stay the same color so it can stay hidden, right?
Yeah.
Let the fish get close. Actually, with two tentacles, right, it can do the fake out move, and then the tentacles are kind of extended out on the bottom of the lake or whatever on either side of the fish. So whatever way it goes, the tentacles are coming up to grab it.
Damn.
Yeah.
They're not going to see that coming.
They're not. No, they're not.
Because they're dumb fish.
Yeah, well, we'll fix the fish at some point. It's going to take us a near eternity to fix this shitty planet, Jeff.
Yeah.
The last guy did such a bad job.
It's a big undertaking, but I believe in us.
I mean, if not us, who? I don't see anybody else stepping up to reinvent animals, you know?
That's right. Here we are.
Here we are.
Making it happen.
Yeah.
We have the best ideas. We're idea men.
Idea men. We were way ahead of Mark Zucker, not Zuckerberg.
Any Mark. Cuban, Zuckerberg.
Cuban. Any Mark. We're ahead of the Marks. Any Mark. Pick a Mark, we're ahead of them.
Yeah.
There's one Mark I can think of we're not. Okay.
True.
True. You're related to him. He's pretty fucking keen, I don't think.
He's sharp. You can't get anything by him.
No, you can't get anything by that Mark. All right, so Avatar, we're going to franchise it. That.
It's actually pretty close. It's pretty close. I panicked because I forgot we'd scheduled this one so close to the last one. Yeah, I'm used to like 3 to 4 months of time to think about it. I know.
Really just luxuriate. And we really take our time to kind of come up with the ideas. That's why they're so good.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have something such high quality, it can't be rushed.
No, absolutely not.
But I was thinking, you know, a real big missed opportunity and something they had tried to franchise and failed at was E.T., you know, the extraterrestrial.
Oh, yeah, the Nanu Nanu, right?
Yep, famously played by Robin Williams, E.T.
I'm kidding. I know it wasn't him.
I mean, it's such an iconic movie, you know?
Yeah, Nanu Nanu was the predator. Say that.
Right.
He'd run off in the jungle. He's a little scamp.
Of course, it has, you know, an actual classic line that we all know off the top of our heads.
E.T. does?
Yeah, E.T. does. I mean, the kids say it as well.
Get to the chopper.
No, I'm talking about the actual line, Sean, where the kid shouts, "It's nothing like that penis breath." Famous line from E.T.
Is that you have to be you're pulling my leg here?
No. It's after he first spots E.T., but before he grabs him and makes him live in the house. He's telling his mom and brother and sister about it, and his brother's like, you know, hey, making fun of him, and his brother eventually says, "Oh, maybe you saw elf or a leprechaun instead." And he goes, "It was nothing like that penis breath." And then
I didn't know that line was in there. Also, I burped when you were talking, so if you could cut that out, that'd be pretty great.
Leave it in.
I didn't know that was famous. Please don't leave it in. Jeff, please. I have a reputation. Please.
I mean, what line in that movie is more famous than "It was nothing like that penis breath"?
What about when they're, I don't know, shrieking in delight as they jump in front of the moon? It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, and I think you know I don't really hold on to popular culture that well in my head.
It was E.T. phone home, probably. I'm guessing it's probably slightly more popular than it was Nothing Like That Penis.
All right, I guess. I get what you're doing, but how is it fun for you? There's no challenge here.
I thought you'd know that line, and so I thought the misdirection of saying the penis breath line would really, you know, really get your goat. But since you knew no lines from the movie, it was really hard.
The only thing I know about, there's two things I know about E.T., and I feel like you should have known I wouldn't know the normal things to know about E.T. if I knew anything at all.
Okay.
I know that they hide him in the closet with a bunch of stuffed animals.
Yep.
And then I know that they re-edited it so that the cops have walkie-talkies and not guns.
Yeah, which I don't think I've seen the walkie-talkie cut, but there's definitely a scene where they're setting up a blockade, and there's two cops with, like, shotguns on either side of the car. Those must have been some big walkie-talkies.
I mean, I don't know how movie magic works, but... Yeah.
I mean, Spielberg can do anything.
Can he?
Yeah.
Can he?
I mean, within reason. I mean.
In what role? Director, producer? I'll look at his IMDb and find some real fucking stinkers. Don't make me do
it. Oh, no. He can do a stinker. He can do several stinkers. I'm saying he's allowed to, you know? They'll let him do anything.
Okay. That's a good point. I guess when you said he can do anything, that includes stinkers. All right, you got me. You got me. I don't see how this is fun for you, man. I don't get it. But you like punching down? Hey, that's not up to me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do you remember the movie at all, or should I recap it? I mean,
so I'll recap it. I think I can handle this.
Okay.
The alien lands, and his friends take off without him because he's probably you know, kind of a bore or whatever. So they're just like, yeah, fuck him, leave him here. Mm-hmm. And then some kids find him or something because he's in the woods and they're riding bikes.
Yep.
I feel like there's a scene where they ride bikes in circles around him, but I also feel like that's definitely not a thing in the movie.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm remembering when they first meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of, like, bully him a little, but that's probably not true. So they bring him in, and then he shares a product with the lady, the girl who's a famous actress now. And
Drew Barrymore, yep.
All right. I didn't care. So you got me.
Sorry.
Oh, he's got to go home, so he wants to call home to get a ride from probably some other aliens who are just like, I guess we'll come pick you up. But there's the government probably knows that aliens crashed here, so they're looking to find him to probably dissect him or something. It was an 80s movie. That's what the government did with aliens.
Yeah, so far so good.
So the kids like do a big jump in front of the moon and get him to the ship. Yeah. No, that's on bikes. No, they get on bikes. Yeah, he's in the basket of the bike because he's kind of small. And they pedal real fast, and the cops can't catch them because... Oh, he's got magic powers. He flies. He makes them fly to get across the blockade. And then...
Yeah.
Which, if he could have done that the whole time, then nothing here could harm him, so... I guess it's a movie about an alien coming to toy with children.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, they leave him behind because the, you know, people come riding up on him. It seems like this government agency is the one that comes riding up on him.
They come riding up on bikes and circle the alien ship real menacingly like bullies. So the ship takes off. Yeah, okay.
Right. There. He forms a bond with Elliot, like the kid. Like E.T. at one is at the Elliot's house while Elliot's at school.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to get drunk and watch TV, and Elliot gets drunk at school.
Okay.
He gets intoxicated from E.T. drinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They don't just separately make decisions to get drunk in the middle of the day. Okay.
Yeah. They're connected. If one gets drunk, the other one's like, I should get drunk.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. So they're pretty linked together, you know? E.T. healed the cut on Elliot. He made flowers come back to life.
He's alien Jesus, it sounds like.
Yeah. But I think you nailed most of the points. They come wrapped. They come, like, quarantine the house with, like, a bunch of plastic. But depending on what the story needs. They're either in hazmat suits or have their hazmat suit helmet off and freely walk in and out of the house.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you want to see the actors, they got to take the helmet off. So,
yeah. You try acting through a hazmat suit, okay?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Can't be done.
It's hard to do.
Well, Spielberg could do it, but he's, you know, he wasn't in the movie. Does he put himself in his own movies?
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen him in one of his own movies. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
And we're both pretty keen on who's been in what movie, so if we can't think of an incident, he probably didn't do it.
No, there's no way. There's just no way.
All right, so we're franchising this. Is there anything else important I need to know about? It feels like I knew the movie pretty well, if only
you knew it pretty well.
Yeah, like cultural osmosis, I guess.
Yeah, you knew enough of it to be like, This is what it is. You know, you don't need to know all the points, all the finer points. You know,
yeah. That, I mean, that's how I feel about all popular culture, which is why I just don't engage. Like, I don't need to know the fine points. But
yeah,
Jeff? Who is Cardi B? I don't know. I see her interviewing political figures, and people go crazy over it. I don't know who the fuck she is.
She sings rap songs.
I don't want to get sexist, but doesn't look like she's a journalist. So. I've seen clips of a music video that doesn't look like she's doing journalism. Where are these interviews coming from? Why?
You know, I mean, when you've got your finger on the pulse like Cardi B, you may just think of relevant questions for people that...
All right.
You
know. She's kind of the Steven Spielberg of journalism.
She's the Steven Spielberg of our times, yeah, for sure.
Just please say the sentence, Cardi B is the Steven Spielberg of journalism, so that I have that clip and I can use it.
Sean, Cardi B is the Steven Spielberg of journalism.
Thank you. Perfect.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
We'll use that in promos for the podcast. That's great.
So we know at the end of the movie, E.T. is successfully phoned home, and his spaceship comes back, and he says heartfelt goodbyes to the family. And
he uses a toy phone.
He uses part of like a speak and spell, yeah.
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 Why? But he's got Jesus magic. He can, like, bring things back from the dead, right? Does he kill something and bring it back to the dead, from the dead?
Flowers. They were flowers, but they were already dead.
I thought he, like, killed an animal and then brought it back to life.
The dog is pretty fond of him. I don't know if he killed the dog accidentally and then brought it back to life. They're also... Because E.T. himself almost dies from, I don't know, being on Earth... for too long or something.
It's a bummer down here, man.
Yeah. He looks like one of those a piece of dog poop that's been left out for months, you know, like white and crusty. And at one point, because they haven't hooked up to the machines, his heart stops and they just do regular heart compressions and CPR. Mm-hmm. And then they defibrillate him. It's like they know nothing about his physiology. And yet they're like, yeah, well, she's do what we know.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, that's you know, that's that Spielberg magic, right?
Yeah, that's Spielberg magic.
We gotta franchise it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to press too hard on the fact that I don't really need that many details about a movie, but
I just thought it was funny that they would just perform just CPR in an alien. Like,
put some lightning and some air in him.
Yeah.
That's what we know about life. I don't know. Maybe it works for him.
Just gave in his chest cavity. It's probably the same thing. So where do we start with the franchise here? I mean,
we start where E.T. the movie leaves off and we follow E.T. on his spaceship back. And what it's revealed is he's actually like a genetically engineered weapon. The E.T. are like a speciesist race. They want to wipe out other starfaring.
Yeah.
So he's like specifically designed to commit genocide. That is like the movie takes a different turn.
He was made like the alien aliens by the predator aliens to be something that could be hunted, a worthy opponent. Is that right?
Is that part of the predator lore with aliens?
I think so. I think if you go deep enough, but you don't go to Prometheus, I think that is basically what they're implying.
Huh. Weird. That doesn't seem necessary. I think the two franchises were fine on their own, but okay.
Okay, they go back there.
And it's just like a Star Wars. It's like a Star Wars, but E.T.'s the bad guy.
Yeah, okay. So E.T.'s Darth Vader? I've seen Star Wars, I swear to God.
No, I think E.T.'s... No. The Emperor was
Stormtrooper.
No, please. He's closest to a Stormtrooper.
Okay. Okay.
I think he's probably more like Darth Maul, someone who doesn't talk, but he's just there to be menacing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somebody was trolling people on Twitter by saying that their favorite scene from The Phantom Menace, and they had a little clip of Darth Maul, and underneath they had like captions saying, "I am the Phantom Menace." Like, that's my favorite line in the whole movie.
That's pretty good.
Somebody did not take it as a joke and was like, where does that happen? Seen this movie, and I was just like, oh my God.
So Jeff, good. I'm sorry. Are you telling me someone on Twitter didn't take a joke like a joke? Are you serious?
I know. It seems strange to think about.
How did this happen? It's crazy. Usually everybody on Twitter is so fucking sharp.
Yeah. But it's pretty good. It is pretty good.
I like it when people shit on the prequels. It's really funny.
Yeah.
They look good by comparison now, though, don't they? Didn't know what we had.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You thought some of it was kind of boring? Didn't make sense? Look at it now.
They told a story, at least. It wasn't a good one or an entertaining one, but they fucking told one. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you rather have actors rehash the old stories that you liked, or do you want to tell a new story? All right.
You know what's crazy? No, now I have to talk a little bit about Star Wars. There, I saw some stories the other day where they were like, here's what the original Finn was supposed to be, the Stormtrooper, in the new ones. Yeah. And it's like a decent arc that he was supposed to have. And they're just like, yeah, they just decided they didn't want that. They just took, like, they had, like, the script written, and they were just like, nah, let's just do a different thing.
We don't have time for that. I mean...
What if instead of developing this character, we just didn't?
What if he just really likes the first normal person he runs into who's not a stormtrooper? Like, a lot. Like, obsessively.
Oh.
Likes her for, like, no reason, like the audience should. And we just had that.
It's crazy. How do you not plan that out? It's like the largest franchise in the world.
I want to hear the person that pitched the shot of Finn taking off his helmet for the first time. And then he takes the helmet and he's black. And they're just waiting in the room for a big reaction.
Like, they think they really did something. Like,
yeah. Like, okay.
Okay. Right. And
yeah, but he's like a black stormtrooper, you know?
Yeah.
Like, his helmet is white.
Have you ever seen a black stormtrooper? It's like, no. They usually don't take their fucking helmets off, so the fact that he's doing that at all is kind of surprising.
Yeah, we might have. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, probably. A bunch. Oh, boy.
So good. All right, so let's say the end of the movie, the original movie, is them trying to get E.T. away from the U.S. government because they're, you know, they're going to want to experiment on him, cut him up or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And he gets back to... He calls the ship back. He gets back there. We pick up where we left off, you know, and all E.T.'s friends are all happy to see him, right? But then when they get back, his government wants to cut him up and examine him because he got intertwined with this human, and they want to know more about that. So he's in threat of getting cut up by his own government.
How does he get out of that, though? There's no human boy to help him. Who's the hero child here?
He's got other friends, you know. Hmm. He's got his own buddies. You know, they're on that spaceship together. You know, maybe most of them want to turn him in. Maybe he's got one or two other buddies that are like trying to get him out of there. Maybe he has to go to like hide out and escape to like a neighboring planet. You know, and it was the 80s, so maybe it was Planet Melnick. You know, maybe he runs into Elf. I don't know.
All right, I think you just gave me, like, alien whiplash. Like, Alf Planet, you know the name?
Yeah.
That's worse than me. I, in a thousand years, would never remember the name of Alf Planet.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, he had his own cartoon that happened on that planet. I don't know.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a show where the old guy hated him.
Yeah, there was the grumpy father figure, you know. Yeah, but no, he had his own cartoon.
All right.
Elf was huge, you know.
Well, relative to a human, I think he was kind of small.
LOL.
Right.
But I think he's about the size of E.T., so you could assume they must live in at least similar planets, possibly under the same solar system.
Oh, my God. Okay, so E.T.'s race, maybe like, maybe everyone on that ship was a genetically engineered experiment, right?
Mm.
But they're supposed to bond with another one of themselves, right?
Mm.
So that they're like tactical units of two each out to commit genocide. I'm rolling the ideas into one. But E.T. has now bonded with a little human boy.
Yeah.
So his government wants to be like, how did that happen? You're not supposed to be able to do that. Like, you're supposed to be part of a team that commits genocide against our enemies. We are the worst, says E.T.'s government. When he's escaping, maybe... So first of all, here are the key players, right? There's E.T. There's the person E.T. was supposed to bond with who can't bond now. So his whole life or her life is ruined, right?
Like, yeah.
There's not another... They made an even number of genetically engineered genocide murderers. Like, so that person just doesn't have anyone to bond with now. So maybe the race they're trying to genocide is Alf's.
Okay.
So that's where E.T. escapes to. He doesn't feel like genociding anymore. He's bonded to a little boy who doesn't even know really what that is.
Yeah.
So maybe he's thinking about, should I genocide or not? And the little boy's like, I don't know what that is. That feels wrong. Maybe the movie that follows the kid, the third movie in this installment, will be different. Maybe that kid grows up to want to do genocide. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's activated at some point.
Right.
You know?
Or maybe because, okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. I just had a good idea for him, too. But so he escapes to Alf's planet. E.T. does, not the little boy. The little boy's on Earth. He doesn't know how to space travel.
Yeah.
E.T. goes to Alf's planet, which is... M something?
Melnack,
of course. Mm-hmm. And he's trying, maybe he's trying to warn Alf's people that it's, you know, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
This time.
What if, now I know the cartoon Elf, there are female versions of Elf and they look almost exactly the same. But what if E.T.'s just a hairless version of the Elf aliens? You know,
is he? I thought
his. Well, no, Elf's got a snout. Hammerhead. Yeah, Elf's got a snout and some ears. You know.
Yeah,
but it's like an offshoot. I don't know. Maybe he's Naboo in the. Where was Jar Jar Binks' characters? The Gungan, Naboo and Gungans. You know,
I'm going to go ahead and put it in terms that I understand.
Yeah,
so he's
sure.
Sort of like a Vulcan or a Romulan.
Right, yeah.
They share an ancestry.
Yeah.
Even though they're not identical now. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. They both bleed green. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Yes. I don't know why I thanked you. I did all the heavy lifting so that I could understand it, but... yeah. So they share an ancestry. How does this movie resolve? Oh! There's some fighting. There's a lot of great laser gun battles.
Oh, sure.
Pew. Yeah. Right. Explosions while Alf and E.T. waddle down hallways slowly to escape. We're not using CGI. This is going to be all...
It's all puppets. I mean, they're both puppets. Keep them puppets.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what it is. Alf feels betrayed when he learns that there's a lot of cats on Earth that he could be eating. I remember that about Alf. So
love to eat cats.
Pretty good.
Terrible puzzle builder.
I don't need an award, but, you know, it should be recognized that I remembered that about Alf. And maybe he betrays E.T. to that his other E.T. companion who doesn't have someone. So that other guy bonds with Alf. And ooh, that's how the war gets resolved. He's bonded with Alf now.
Oh, yeah.
They send E.T. away.
Does it become like the, is it Gelflings and Skets? I can never say that word. Why do I reference Dark Crystal if I can't say that one of the main characters?
No. Is it Skeksis?
I'm going to say yes, because I don't want to say it again.
This is why I asked Brett to be on. I had a premonition that we'd be talking, and this is sort of his area now.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know what the resolution of that was that they were two halves of the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not strictly that, but whatever divided them, now Alf and this other genocidal alien will help resolve.
Yeah. Like that.
Maybe Alf is so mad that he bonds with the other E.T. alien about, like, we should genocide humans to get access to their cats. And now a unified E.T./Alf race warrior class is coming for Earth, and E.T. has to come warn us.
Yeah.
That sets up the third movie, Jeff. Now the third movie.
You know, I was gonna it takes say a while to get there.
It does. It does. We're, you know, really doing kind of an MCU thing here, which is how you pitched this segment to me, which is why this is where my mind goes.
Okay.
The kid has opposite Alf powers, because he wasn't supposed to have access to them. So instead, like, when he will have a scene at the beginning of the third movie where he picks some flowers for a date, but by the time he gets to her door, they're all dead.
And it's hard because, you know, all throughout middle school and high school, he was known as that weird kid that, like, bonded with an alien, so girls wouldn't touch him.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? No. He has to be homeschooled. There's no way that kid survives. Definitely not in a public school. I don't know if he went to public or private in the movie, but...
No.
That kid's dead if he goes to public school.
It's at least Wedgie in Swirly City, you know what I mean?
It's worse than that, I think. Oh. You know, the xenophobia is up a little bit in the town, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe he can't, his phone, he can't use his cell work.
Yeah, he can't use phones at all. Every time he picks up a phone, everyone goes, phone home, phone home.
Well, I meant the phone dies on him because E.T. could use a toy phone to call home. So the opposite powers, he can't use that technology at all. But also people mercilessly mock him. Yeah, so he grows up kind of a fucking outsider. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No wonder he turns to genocide.
Well, maybe he doesn't do that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But... Maybe also, we can maybe save that. Maybe the woman he's seeing is actually a government agent. They have to keep tabs on him.
You have to, yeah. Who knows what changes were made to his DNA in his body during this whole process.
So maybe when he shows up at her doorstep with flowers that are dying, she starts to suspect he has opposite ET powers. Now the government's on to him.
What's the opposite of making bikes fly?
that's a good question. He can any vehicle he's in can submerge underwater and he can help it move around in a little air bubble.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Still useful. Or maybe he can like ground planes. Like nothing can fly.
I say why not both? You know, both. I say give maybe them both those.
I don't know what other E.T. powers exist, but he's got the opposite of them.
Yeah. I mean, E.T. healed wounds.
Oh, this kid can cause... Oh, so when he gets angry at people, maybe they get sick.
This kid's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, his life is dark, too. That does not sound good for him.
Does E.T. make it to Earth first to warn him?
Oh, yeah. That's how you up the stakes. That's your first complication, is, you know, here's this kid's shitty life. He's a teen or maybe in his early 20s. I don't know. He's got to be older than he was a kid in the movie, right?
Yeah, he was like middle school age.
So definitely more years on him than that.
We don't need to see all the bullying, but it has to be implied, you know? He has to look like he's had a rough
life. So E.T. gets here. Yeah, no, we can do a flashback when E.T. gets here. And he's like, you again. Like, the kid's not happy to see him initially.
Yeah.
He's like, do you know what happened last time you were here? I was bullied. I can't use the phone.
And phones have only gotten more prominent.
Oh, definitely. He would love to be playing Candy Crush. No, I love Candy, E.T. I can't play that game now. You get a flashback, maybe just some quick shots of him getting bullied.
Yeah. Like, E.T. uses a mind thing to have him, like, remember, you know, when they were saying goodbye, how much they care for each other. And then the kid's just like, well, what about this? And then there's a quick flashback of him getting bullied and
shit. Ooh, that's good. We can reuse scenes from the first movie, yeah, too. Really good nostalgia play. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's smart, Jeff. That's smart. Yeah. And maybe eventually they just settle on. The kid's like, all right, I'll help you, but after that, we're done. So it's a little bit they're rediscovering their bond.
Yeah, they've got to reconnect, you know?
It feels like when the other aliens get here, the kid's just going to kill them all. He's gonna use his anti-ET powers to just, like, destroy them.
Yeah, yeah, he is key. He is key. Is there a scene where they try to round up cats to protect them, or?
I don't know how they would do that, so probably not. How do you? I don't think the concern is that the cats will die. I think the concern is that they want to exterminate the human race to get to the cats.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I suppose that's true. Maybe Elliot has a cat now. That's his only friend.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what?
Yeah. I like that. His government agent girlfriend put a bug on the cat, so she hears the conversation between him and E.T.
Ooh. Yeah.
And now she's on the fence. Like, she has to call it into the government, but she didn't really understand the depth of the effect that E.T. had on this kid. Yeah.
Damn.
It's really kind of a character study.
Okay, I like that. How does it resolve? How do we?
I think we can just do an Independence Day thing. They show up with big saucers, and the kid and E.T. fly in on a ship. Maybe the government, of course, has access to an alien ship that the government agent from girlfriend, before. Lets them into. Like, they have to break into that compound. And they all fly the ship, and they, you know, the kid's like, if you take one more step, Alf, I'll fucking turn you, I'll disintegrate you with my anti-ET powers.
Yeah, in Independence Day, don't they use like a MacBook to hack the aliens' computer system?
They definitely do, yeah.
Take it offline?
They definitely do. Yeah, they do.
Is there anything a Mac isn't compatible with? I mean, man.
I mean, that always made me feel like Mac was a plant, an alien plant.
Yeah. Maybe this time, you know, they take a good old, you know, Windows computer or an Android thing in there, really take the whole thing
down.
Oh,
we'll do a ton of product placement. We'll sell way out. I don't give a shit. For this, I barely remembered E.T. I got it right just because it's a simple story for children. It's a bit like a Razer. It'll be a Razer computer. I hear those are,
Oh my god, what if it's an Alienware?
Oh my god, perfect. It's Alienware. Of course it'll connect to their ship. This is an Alienware. And they all have a good laugh.
Yeah.
And the camera just stays on the Alienware logo for like a solid 25 seconds.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, the characters themselves talk about how good the Alienware is.
Mm-hmm. And Alienware will put out a special edition E.T. logo housing for a computer.
Definitely, yeah, the case is... Choose a side, E.T. or Alf.
Yeah. Or combine them together for even more power. You know?
Yeah, whatever the name of the predecessor alien race that they both come from. We'll name it in the movie just so Razor has the chance for the
episode. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Klingons. They're both descended from Klingons.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's used that word before, so... I just now came up with it. You're welcome.
You know, they split after this whole fiasco up in space. There was a big Star War. You know?
Yep, the Klingons fight in a big Star War, and
can read all about it in the X-Files.
Oh, we have to have an appearance by. The X-Files actors, whose names I do know, but I want to give you the chance to say.
Oh, yeah, David Duchovny and Gillian Jacobs. Yeah.
That was Gillian Anderson, but...
You nailed it. Gillian Anderson, that was for you. That was for you to correct me.
I know. We're just, you know, it's a little give and take. So, if anybody out there is wondering how to do a sporadic and not very good podcast, it's a little give and take. A little give and take is how it works. So
yeah, because we really capitalize on that.
Definitely. You know? X-Files, maybe Brian Posehn, right? He could be in it. He likes nerd stuff. Remember him? You remember when he was in like nerd stuff sometimes? Because he was a nerdy, his comedy and talked about nerd stuff. Him and the other guy, who's the shorter, fatter one?
Horatio? Oh, no. You're talking about Patton Oswalt?
Yeah, who is Horatio?
Okay. Horatio Sands was in The Mandalorian recently, and so was, well, Brian Posehn was in it for a shorter
Who's
period.
Who's Horatius?
He's SNL most known for, but he's a comedian.
Horatio. Yeah, I don't know him.
He's good. He's good.
Oh, did he do a lot of stuff with the other guy who's a talk show, the guy who's not funny?
Jimmy Fallon, yeah.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually a little sharper on comedy because I watch a lot of stand-up, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. They did, like, a Boston Guys sketch sometimes.
I believe so, yeah.
I might be remembering it wrong, but I know who the actor is. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I meant Patton Oswalt. I don't know why we spent so long on Horatio.
He's good. He's good.
All right. I mean, he could be in the... I don't care. He can be in the movie.
Let's get them all in there.
Sell it way out.
Yeah. It's an open casting call for comedians, you know? We need regular-looking people.
Maybe...
You know?
Yeah, maybe there's a segment... let's just say the kid goes on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. His mom was really trying to squeeze all, for all he's worth.
Yeah, needed the money.
Out of this experience.
Needed the money.
Because obviously she was a single mother because... She was separated with her husband.
Yeah, and I mean, and that movie took place in the 80s, so
yeah, it's
probably during or post Reagan cuts, right? So
yeah,
oof, dark times.
Mm. But thankfully, Reagan saved America and the economy, so nothing bad ever happened again.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Let me do a callback here. The official stance of the Heads Up podcast. I disagree with your statement, but let's continue. Let us continue.
My sarcastic statement about how Reagan saved everything.
Don't backpedal. Okay. Right. Don't backpedal.
All right.
Don't backpedal. You love Reagan.
It's an American hero. Okay, I think the third one was pretty much fleshed out, you know.
Oh, we've made the main trilogy. I don't know if you want there to be any other offshoots.
I mean, we've got the main trilogy down.
All right,
but I feel like we're underutilizing the most famous person to come from these movies, and that's Drew Barrymore. You know?
Oh, she's the little girl that I said became famous.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't take you got to at least try to get the most famous person from these movies.
Well, she stars in like Adam Sandler comedies now, so I don't think it'll be hard to get her. Right? She was in that dating one? Like, come on.
Yes. Yeah, she was in 50 First Dates with Adam Sandler. Oh, she was also in that Fenway one with Jimmy Fallon. Right?
Jimmy Fallon? I don't even know that one.
I don't know. Jimmy Fallon likes baseball or something. They go to those games with the Red Sox. I don't remember what it's called.
Fenway's where they play. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably like The Fenway Boy. That sounds like a Jimmy Fallon movie.
The Fenway Boy.
I'm just a normal Boston guy. I like going to Fenway. Whoa, that girl's real pretty, dude. I fell in love and learned a life lesson, and now the movie's over. Like, boom, done.
He only agrees to be in movies where he can break character.
Jimmy, really, we can take as many takes as you want. It's not live. We record everything first, and then we take the best.
Yeah. We can shoot through this. You can just laugh, look at the camera, and then you have to move on. Jimmy? Fever Pitch. Fever Pitch is what it was called.
Fever Pitch? I thought that was the one where the kid breaks his arm, and then he can throw the baseball real fast.
That's Rookie of the Year.
Gotcha. Testing your baseball movie knowledge. No, Rookie of the Year is the one where...
I'm a big sports guy.
Yeah, I know you. That's why I'm, you know, we're playing a little game here, but the listeners should know you're a big sports guy. Yeah. Gretzky, you love him.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year...
The Wainster?
No, Rookie of the Year is the one where the guy builds the baseball field in his backyard.
Yeah, that's Field of Dreams. And there's ghosts. For sure. Field of Dreams.
No, that's not it.
Yeah. Maybe you're thinking of Angels in the Outfield, where a kid... Angels have a kids baseball team?
I think you're thinking of basketball.
I think you're thinking of Major League.
Is that a movie? That's just the name of a kind of sport.
Yeah. It's the name of a satirical baseball movie. Like The Naked Gun, but about baseball.
Let's back up a second. I 100% guarantee you that movie is nothing like The Naked Gun.
Sensibility-wise, not as far as quality.
The Naked Gun movies were fucking fantastic.
Oh, sorry. It's the scary movie of baseball movies.
That makes much more sense to me. Much more sense. So, well, let's get back on. I mean, I'm tired of you showing off your sports knowledge.
Yeah.
E.T.
Drew Barrymore. How was she affected? What does her character do? We need a strong female lead movie.
Well, I think maybe E.T. makes her get into an accident that causes her to wake up each day and think that it's the same day. She doesn't remember anything.
Okay.
And then, you know, a goofy but lovable guy falls for her. We'll call it...
Do you know the actual name? Or?
Memento. We'll call it Memento. Memento. She gets a bunch of tattoos all over her arms and legs to remember stuff.
Yeah, she was so young when E.T. came that she kind of thinks, and her mother makes her kind of believe that it didn't really happen, to try to make her more normal than her brother.
Yeah.
And so once, you know, when E.T. comes back or something, maybe she has to go through her own kind of reconciliation.
I think it would help if... Is this a separate movie? She's not like...
Yeah, I mean, time frame can be similar.
Yeah, it could be like the same time frame as the third movie. So that's... I was going to say, we need to establish how long after... How much time has passed. Because if it's like 7 or 8 years, she's like still in her teens.
Yeah.
But if it's like... If it's been 20 years and the kid's like... I don't know how old middle school kids are. The kid's got to be, like, in his early 30s then. Mm-hmm. She'd be in her, like, mid-20s, right?
Yeah.
Because if that's what it is, then maybe she has, like, a government job.
Oh, okay.
Like, whatever she does, like, they made it to... They wanted to keep eyes on her. Just in case.
I mean, it's a little risky not making her run a bakery or write for a magazine, but I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Maybe she works for a bakery in the FBI building.
She runs a coffee shop right inside the lobby of the FBI building.
And, so this will definitely be a 90s love story. I guess we're making a love story movie now in the E.T. universe is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
What if, oh my God, no, she can be the Christmas tie-in movie where she leaves the big city to go back to where her mom used to live, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Her mom's never been able to sell. Her mom's never been able to sell that house, and she's a big city real estate person. So she comes back to her small town to sell the house for her mom, where she meets a folksy, down to earth man who shows her the true meaning of Christmas.
Listen, I love that.
Hallmark money here. We
I love
come.
That. Yeah,
I'm into it.
What does the man do? Maybe he runs a Christmas tree farm.
Where the kid... Oh, definitely a Christmas tree farm. Of course a Christmas tree farm. He... Okay, so her brother, the E.T. kid... Who kills flowers with his powers.
Yeah.
That kid had friends that knew about E.T., right?
His brother's friends did, yeah.
Okay.
His older brother and their friends, yeah. He didn't really have any of his own friends, which is a little weird, but yeah.
Maybe... So one of his brother's friends has, like, a younger brother. And that younger brother grew up on Tales. This guy was like, we definitely saw an alien. There's totally aliens in the world. Here's where it happened. So That guy has bought up the land where the ship landed the first time, and he runs a Christmas tree farm out of it, but he also secretly is kind of waiting for more aliens to show up.
Okay, okay, yeah. He's got, like, a whole barn full of, like, blurry photos and yarn, and the, red yarn, connecting different pictures. And
the product placement food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's got a lot of it, like, a lot of it right, but he's got some crazy theories that are, like, way off and kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, maybe it can be half a Hallmark holiday movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where he teaches her the true meaning of Christmas so that she gives up her big city job and huge paycheck to, I guess, cook for this guy. I guess it's some sort of weird conservative fantasy where powerful women are subdued by folksy agricultural.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the birth of Jesus is so special.
I don't understand. You're a white woman. You don't want to just live for me, the man? That's the true meaning of Christmas. But like,
would it help for a month straight if we listened to the same song done by 20 different artists?
So it's half that and half horror movie because there is an alien that is in town and it remembers this, or like maybe she has a residual imprint of E.T. in her mind.
Yeah.
So it's stalking her.
Maybe E.T. laid like one egg.
It's like a feral E.T., because it wasn't raised, but it's also a genetic mutant.
Yeah, so it's like it's been feral. It's been trying to, you know, live in the sewers or in the woods, and so she keeps seeing it. Because out in the woods by the Christmas tree farm,
I saw it.
He laid the egg out by the ship.
Something disappeared into those trees, those Christmas trees. That's good, because she can run down the rows.
Could have been an angel.
Yeah, oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's perfect, Jeff. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, nah, I've run this Christmas tree farm for a decade, and I ain't never seen nothing out there. Christmas is the most important holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Come have dinner with me and my family.
Well, he's a widower.
You'll find your place, woman.
Yeah.
And it's living for me. It's not living in the city, earning your own money.
Don't you worry. I've already got one small kid and a dog.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah, and the dog takes on. Initially, she doesn't like it when the dog comes up and licks her, but it grows on her. It's like a comedy moment.
Yeah.
Then maybe the dog dies defending her, and the E.T. creature eats it.
Mm-hmm. They get a taste for dog. No domestic animals are safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I had a cat before we got the dog, but damn thing must have run off. That's the opening scene of the movie, as we see a cat
just
walking through the woods, and then all of a sudden an E.T. hand grabs it.
Just, yeah. Creepy, yeah.
That's good. I'd watch that movie, too.
Yeah.
a horror Hallmark Christmas film?
Yeah, amazing.
We have the best ideas.
I know.
Best ideas. Any more movies? We've done a trilogy, a one-off. I'm sure there's more movies, but who's got the time?
Yeah, I can't think of any. I mean, sure. Do they capture a bunch of these aliens, put them on an island? Yeah, do they charge admission?
I was figuring after the big ships came down at the end of the third movie, right? There's some ETs and ALFs still around, so the governments of the world gather them up, but they're too dangerous for any one government to study them alone.
Yeah.
So a secret coalition, you know, they put them all on an island for experimentation.
Yeah. Power goes out. Yeah.
They escape.
They ramp it for sure.
It's
for sure.
Melnock Island. Melnock Park.
Melnock Island.
Melnock Park. Is that the name of his planet?
Melnock, yeah.
Melnock. Melnock Park. Pretty good. Thank you. It was. Candy, no transitions.
Yeah.
What'd you eat this week?
I didn't have a chance to eat any candy either this week, but...
it's Thursday, Jeff. I don't believe you haven't had any candy this week.
Nothing that we haven't already talked about. You know what I mean?
Fair.
So I was thinking we'll just talk Reese's Pieces since we talked E.T., you know?
That was the product placement candy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to get them back, or?
Are we going to get them back from the movies? Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. They show up everywhere in those movies.
Oh, that's just my Christmas candy bowl. I fill it with Reese's Pieces because it's a holiday. It's an all-year candy, but they're especially good around the holidays.
We're going to make Reese's Pieces ornaments where we glue these into shapes of Santa around styrofoam balls.
Yeah, help my kid do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I want the kid. I want the woman that's present to help my kid do it.
Yeah. She's allergic to chocolate, so this is the only kind of candy she can really have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You know? She hasn't been the same since her mom died.
We could definitely write a Hallmark movie.
Because these people, their wives either had to have died or they have to be in the middle of a marriage, and that woman has to be a stone cold
bitch. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
There's no room. There's no room for things not working out, and they're both being nice and reasonable people. There's no room for it.
No.
Anyway, Reese's Pieces. How long has it been, Sean? How long has it been for you since you've had Reese's Pieces?
Oh, a long time. They're not that great.
Reese's Piece. No, I mean, I'm a fan, you know?
Too sweet. Overly sugary.
I think that's what I like about them.
I'd rather have the M&M, peanut butter M&M's.
Those are good because they're salty.
Yeah.
They got the chocolate in there.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the.
It's always a good time and place for a piece, though. Reese's Piece. Oof. Give me a handful of those.
I just don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't know it. I'm not. I just ding dang don't like them. They're fine. They're middle of the road for me, definitely.
Sure.
But it's like after you have a handful, it's just like, oh, okay, why don't I just eat sugar?
I guess. I can see that, but they're still top shelf for me. I like that they've maintained this not really, like, colorful color scheme. It's just that brown, the yellow, and the orange. But, like, how do you get kids to like that? You gotta have those neon colors or whatever, but they stuck to it, you know?
That's fair, but I think they stuck to it because they were already, like, an established name. They didn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, M&M's adds colors, you know, so often. Takes colors out. I've never even seen Reese's Pieces make, like, special editions for holidays that are different colors. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they focus on the cups for that, right? Like, there's the Easter eggs.
Yeah, they just make random blobs.
Yeah, there's different shapes.
Tell you it's a tree or a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Oh, the bat for the Batman movies. Mm.
I didn't see that.
It looks a lot like the Christmas tree.
No, you don't say.
The hearts for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, see, they all of their energy goes into that.
Yeah. Eggs for Easter.
The wigs for President's Day. Yeah, they're so good. So great. I don't love the you know, the trees for Arbor Day. I really just think they're rehashes from the Christmas ones, but
yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much.
You know, pick a different shape. They don't all got to be pine. I mean, oak or a birch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just make another mold.
Make just one more mold. Just one.
Yeah. What holiday could Reese's Pieces really, really dominate that they're not dominating? You know what I mean?
That's a great question.
You know, when you think of this holiday, you should think Reese's Pieces.
I don't think there is one. I don't think their color scheme allows for it. But if they start changing up the colors, they're going to look like a bunch of assholes.
Yeah. Because some people tell me that, you know, different colored M&Ms taste different, but they definitely don't.
Yeah, they definitely don't.
You know?
I don't know who tells you that.
It's been said. I like the yellow ones. They taste better. Like, they taste the same.
Yeah, they taste the exact same.
But I wonder if they changed the colors on these pieces, maybe they wouldn't taste the same.
Nope.
Can't be true.
Can't be true. No.
Can't be true.
You can't just change the color. You got to change the flavor. That's what determines how it tastes.
They don't even mess with, like, the size of the Reese's Pieces. You know, like, you can get the big cups, the Reese's cups. You can get mini peanut butter cups. But you don't just get one, like, large piece. You don't get like a Reese's piece that's like the size of a like a spree. You know, I think that's a missed opportunity.
Do you think it's the balance between the candy shell and the inside, whatever it is, sugar paste?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a way you can kind of keep up ratios or even change it a little bit to make it, you know, better. You know, they could do it. They're afraid. I think they're afraid to do anything with Reese's Pieces.
I mean, if it works, it works. Like, why mess with a good thing?
Do you remember recently when they started putting Reese's Pieces into peanut butter cups?
I saw an advertisement for it, but I've never had one, I don't think, because the gross.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's not the same peanut butter, so it's like candy shells with different kind of peanut butter in it. It didn't taste good.
Yeah.
It ruined the cup for me. But I think that's one way they've been trying to innovate with the pieces, is stick it into other candies.
I don't think that's going to work.
I mean, they're owned by Hershey's, so they could put it into anything, really. But I think that just that, I think maybe they've got them in a Hershey bar.
Ugh.
But, yeah, I think they're stuck. They're stuck with them.
I mean, I don't think they're stuck with them. I think they make them because people probably buy them, and they're just like, this is fine. Yeah, you buy them, see?
Do you think if E.T. didn't repopularize them in the 80s that they wouldn't be around?
Okay. I don't know. I don't think the decade matters.
Oh, shit. It looks like the Mars Candy Bar Company rejected the product placement for M&M's in E.T. And then Spielberg was like, all right, let's talk to Hershey then, see what they're up to.
Yeah.
And Reese's Pieces were there.
That's smart. Yeah. Like, I can do anything.
Yeah. Oof. In 2010, the Hershey Company expanded the Pieces line to include York Peppermint Patty Pieces, Hershey's Special Dark Pieces, and Almond Joy Pieces.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Does that mean just small versions of those candies, or...
I don't know. I'm not looking at what you're looking at. It didn't make sense to me either.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know. I think Reese's Pieces just work fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it right away. It's a middle-of-the-road candy, but...
Well, to me, you said top of the line.
Yeah. I mean, I like them. But as far as, like, history, I'm not finding a lot of history on them. They seem fine.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Were they included in any kind of war effort? Probably not.
Well, this was... They made these after the peanut butter cups to try to capitalize on the success of the peanut butter cup.
Why wouldn't you? You'd capitalize on it.
Sure.
Oh, I see Wikipedia has a picture of a broken up piece.
It's the anatomy.
Subtitle.
Of yellow Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Anatomy of a yellow Reese's piece. Okay.
It looks just like the brown one and the orange one, I think, but...
I'm sure it does.
I'll tell you, on Hershey's own website, the reviews are in. Overall, it's 4.25 stars. Taste is a 4.8.
Out of 5?
So, yeah.
Okay. That's important.
Out of 20. These are some of these reviews are tough. Somebody couldn't open the bag. You know, someone got one disgusting Reese's Pieces and will not eat it again.
No second chances with that guy.
Yeah, he's done.
He's done.
Oh yeah, they have like snack mixes now. Have you ever seen the different Hershey's products that made it into snack mixes?
No.
They basically just package like, you know, like a trail mix, but it's mostly candy, whether it's, you know, Hershey's Kisses or Reese's Pieces and peanut butter cups with, like, peanuts and pretzel pieces.
Mm.
It's not bad.
That's not what we're talking about, though.
Well, they put the Reese's Pieces in them, you know?
Yeah, but you can't... I mean, if you want us to grade, like, trail mix, we can do that.
That's true.
It's got to be the trail mix.
That's true. Is it trail mix without raisins? It's got to have like a raisin in there, or a craisin, or something that's mixed with a raisin, right?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just got to be a mix of small, shitty food. that you can carry and eat on the trail.
Yeah. But isn't trail mix also referred to as gorp?
I don't know. I'm not really big on trail mix. Again, a place Brett could have come in handy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I think it's like good old raisins and peanuts. Brett, you're going to have to correct me on this.
On the air. So, on the air, please. We'll take your answer on the air.
Yeah, on the air next time. Yeah. But anyway, you're right. I mean, I can't see them in any wars. If they have been, they've been scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure they airdropped these into Vietnam.
You know, we've been putting candy companies on blast for years now, and they might be getting wise and finding products that we haven't reviewed yet and just cleaning up their profiles.
Yeah, now they're staying one step ahead of us.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's where we're back at it, you know? We're going to find the truth, you know?
Yeah, we saw information disappearing off the internet in Joe Biden's America, mm-hmm. so we had to really step forward. A lot of Jeff's favorite sites are going offline, if you know what I mean.
It's the candy of a real patriot, okay? Jesus. I'm being censored.
It's a good reference. That's a good reference. I know what you're talking about, so that's good.
Oh fuck! I think those may be the only thoughts I have on Reese's Pieces. I didn't realize I was gonna be so straightforward about it, but
they are a simple, uncomplicated candy.
Mm-hmm.
You like it or you don't, or you kind of like it, which is what I do.
Yeah. Either like it, or you don't like it, or you're okay with it, or you've never had it.
Or another option, or you feel a different way about it.
Yeah, I mean, why don't they make Reese's Pieces with the peanut butter cup peanut butter in there? What are they afraid of?
That's a good question. Ask that question when some of your favorite sites start coming back online. Poll the people and see what you can get.
I'll put it out there to my fellow freedom fighters.
Yeah, your patriots.
Yeah. They take so many risks with other candies, but the only thing they do with Reese's Pieces is stick it in other things. They don't have a Reese's Pieces peanut butter and jelly mix. You know what I mean? They don't have a different kind of peanut butter in there. They don't have different colors. They're scared.
They're not scared. You're reading too far into it, so I'm ending the podcast. It's just a serviceable candy. They know what it is. They don't want to draw too much attention to it because it doesn't hold up under scrutiny.
Well, I was trying to get you going, but it had the opposite effect.
Yeah, it's serviceable candy. It's nothing more. Nothing more than that.
Yeah,
you buy it at the movies for $100 to shut some kids up. Boom. That's what
for. You're right.
This has been the Heads Up Podcast with Jeff and Sean.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Sean. There's a whole bunch of websites Jeff's going to tell you about now because I don't remember them.
Oh, yeah. We're at Heads Up Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We're headsuppod@gmail.com. You know, if you want to share any thoughts about what we've discussed today.
I don't think you have to.
Or reach out for things. Just put it there.
I don't think you have to, though. You can just keep your thoughts to yourself.
You can, though. You can if you want.
Yeah. No. Heads up. We're doing a lot of audience engagement, but I don't really care. I don't
know. Yeah.
Your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So the audience knows. I don't.
If you want your opinion shut down like mine on this podcast, please write to headsuppod@gmail.com.
Jeff, their opinions won't get shut down because I won't read them. Okay?
I'll read them to you.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
You know, if you want a Heads Up merchandise, it's headsup.threadless.com. It's t-shirts there.
Yeah, buy our shit. Christ's sake.
Stickers.
Economy's in a downturn. Thanks, Biden.
Yeah. And Sean, do you want to give out your OnlyFans handle here? Or?
Nah.
Okay.
It's private. I should have an OnlyFans. It's a great point, though, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do weird shit on there.
Yeah.
I did once float the idea of running Dungeons & Dragons games on, like, one of those sites. People could pay to have, like, different characters do things.
It's, I mean...
There's a way to leverage that. Something. There's a way to leverage that. Mm-hmm. But not sexually. Yeah. But for Dungeons & Dragons. I might not be the man to figure it out, but now that the idea is out there in the world, you know, maybe someone already is, there. And I just don't know about it.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. It's
hard to know.
You know? The internet's a vast place. Vast things.
But how did the podcast is over now. Do I stop recording? What?
Oh, you have to say the phrase that ends.
Oh, yeah. I did this last time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think of it.
Yeah.
We're popping off.
Toodles. Sean, Cardi B is the Steven Spielberg of journalism.